Is overpopulation a possibility? Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time tonight. Father, we do come to you and humbly ask your blessing upon what we look at tonight. We want to thank you that you are God and we are not. We are your creation. I want to thank you that you are in control and we are not. And Lord, we do just ask that you would be our teacher tonight and show us a little bit more, Lord, please, about who you are and what you do for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Tonight's topic actually goes hand in hand with what we looked at last week. We looked at climate change last week. And in the brief video clip that we watched, one of the first things that the narrator said was that one of the biggest contributors to climate change is overpopulation. And that's how she mentioned it. That's what we're going to look at tonight. It's overpopulation of the planet. That's our subject, specifically human overpopulation. Again, and climate change points to human population as a cause. All right. Logically, they say fewer humans, less pollutants, a more stable planet. But I want to open our topic tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't answer it. Just think about it. You've probably thought about the topic of overpopulation before, but perhaps you've never actually asked yourself or thought about this question. But here it is. Is overpopulation a possibility? Is overpopulation a possibility? And of course, tonight we're going to look at that question from both a worldly perspective and a biblical perspective. But as we think about this topic, if you were to guess, or maybe you even know, but where on earth, in what country or countries, are we seeing the greatest concerns of overpopulation? In other words, where are people seeming to be suffering and in poor living conditions because there are so many people?
China, India.
And those were the first two countries that came to mind for me as well. Now, I've never actually been to either of those places, but I have watched TV. Andrew, right, went to India, and he brought back some slides and a little bit of video and showed us a little bit about that. But these, I have seen these examples, and as you look in some of the larger cities, it just seems like an endless sea of people and not really good living conditions either. They are very concerned. Places like China and India are very concerned with their overpopulation problem. They have three times as many people as we have in the U.S. and on one-third of the land. One-third of the land. So they have, they're statistically nine times more crowded than we are. They have an average of about 436 people per square kilometer. Now, a square kilometer, if I'm just estimating, is roughly half of a square mile. Is that pretty close? Who's our math guy here tonight, or girl? All right. Yeah, all right. Two-thirds? Okay. But anyway, 436 people per square kilometer, and as a result, they have great poverty, not enough drinkable water, not enough food, and the air quality in a lot of these places is horrendous. One of the TV shows that I really do enjoy watching is The Amazing Race. And that race has taken numerous contestants to India. So I've seen the masses on television, but also one thing that contestants have commented on is the stench, the smell. The air quality is terrible in India, and they say it's because of overpopulation. 436 people per square kilometer. However, India's people per square kilometer is actually less than the Netherlands. The Netherlands has 501 people per square kilometer. It's less than South Korea. South Korea has 517 people per square kilometer. It's less than Taiwan's. Taiwan has 649 people per square kilometer. And if India is overpopulated, these other countries are even more so. And if India's problems arise from population, then you would expect that these other countries are even worse off than they are. But they're not. They're not. Never mind those examples. Consider Hong Kong. Hong Kong is 6,897 people per square kilometer. That's 16 times greater than India. Singapore has a population density of 7,736 people per square kilometer. That's 18 times more than India, which kind of tells us that I don't think population is the actual problem. Population density isn't the actual problem. There's something else going on there. But tonight we are talking about overpopulation. And what we've looked at, though, still doesn't answer the question as to whether overpopulation is a possibility. So, could we actually get to the point on our planet where we run out of resources because there are just too many people using them? And I'll just share with you, there are people that are in this camp, this overpopulation camp, that will then point to the book of Revelation. Now, we spent a little bit of time there last week as well as we looked at climate change, because there's some climate change going on in the book of Revelation. And as a result of that, of course, the overpopulation people think that climate change is happening because of overpopulation. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 6 and look at some of the conditions there, because there have been some in that climate change and overpopulation camp that point to this and say, see, this is how the world's going to end. Overpopulation is killing us. It's causing the climate change, it's causing food shortage, causing all kinds of health problems, economic problems, and that's what we find in Revelation chapter 6. Let's go to verses 3 through 8. Revelation 6, verses 3 through 8, it says, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice, the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And I'll stop there. So what are the calamities that we're finding here? Okay, it is, but not the way the world says it is. All right, what are some of the calamities listed here?
Starvation.
Okay, starvation, hunger.
Slaughtering each other.
Okay, war, probably fighting over what resources there are. Shirley?
Plagues.
Okay, plagues.
Beasts of the earth.
Okay, beasts of the earth. They're fighting for the resources too. Anything tell us that the economy's bad? Okay, about a day's wages, if I remember the value there. No, it's more than that. I don't remember, but it's a great amount of money for basically a day's worth of food. Look at verse 12. Says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And here we see kind of what we looked a little bit at last week, just changes in the climate. And I bring that up because there are those in this overpopulation camp that see what we're reading here as a result of man's poor stewardship of the earth. I think I mentioned last week too, it seems like so many of the science fiction TV shows and movies that are out there in a dystopian type society, they say it happened because the world got overpopulated and the climate changed. And everybody died anyway. Keep a marker in Revelation 6. We'll come back there again at the end of our lesson tonight. But for right now, let's look at the world's view of this contemporary issue of overpopulation. The world's view is overpopulation is of great concern. In fact, next to climate change. Next to climate change, it is one of the greatest worldly concerns because it's connected, they say, directly to the changing climate, which is slightly ironic because the world says we need to curb pollutants to save lives, yet they want human populations to diminish so that we could curb pollutants. It's a little bit of circular reasoning there. Be leery of circular reasoning. But either way, the world's view is that overpopulation is of great concern, and here is why. Populations are exploding. If you've got that slide, Dave, go ahead and put that up. It's the only slide I have for you tonight. But this is approximately since the time of Jesus. So the past 2,000 years, this is a graph of the Earth's population. It is estimated that when Jesus was born, there were less than 300 million people on the Earth. It then took us 1,800 years to get to 1 billion. So from 300 million to 1 billion took 1,800 years. It took only another 130 years to hit 2 billion, and then less than 100 more years to be around 7 billion worldwide today. And with that, it's projected that we will almost double in the next 80 years. Okay, to as much as 13 to 14 billion people. That is if we don't do anything about it. So the world's view is it's of great concern because because populations are exploding, and secondly, many do not have drinkable water. Too many people, not enough water, because overpopulated areas are exceeding the water that's available in that area. They also say that many don't have enough food. Farmers can't keep up with the local demand. Too many people, not enough food. Many don't have quality air. Those that live in the most populated areas are those who typically have the worst air quality. And then too many are living in poverty. Not only are resources diminishing, the world says, but people can't earn enough money to buy them, because it's as demand increases, so does the price. So populations are exploding. In the world's view of this, it's of great concern. They're exploding. No drinkable water, not enough anyway, not enough food. Air quality is diminishing. Too many people in poverty, excuse me. The world's response then is to curb population growth. And we must lessen the amount of people on the earth, or at least diminish the growth rate, so that these problems don't continue to escalate. Well, how do we do that? Well, Mark Montgomery, he's a professor at Stony Brook University, and I only bring him up because he's on the Population Council, whatever that is, but he's got a say in these things. But he says people just need to be educated. People need to be educated about what's going on in our world. Slide's gone, but the growth rate, okay, what's going on? He says one of the most powerful tools in stemming population growth will be education. He says, we've seen some astonishing transitions, especially in the 1970s, in what were then poor countries where fertility rates fell when levels of education went up. Studies conducted support this. Researchers found that on average, uneducated women gave birth to almost 7 children. For the better educated, the number was about 4. So he says education leads to lower birth rates and slows population growth. He also says it makes it easier for countries to develop. A more educated workforce also makes poverty eradication and economic growth easier to achieve. So what he's really saying is that if we teach the dangers of overpopulation, people will naturally contribute, or in this case, not contribute, okay, to the population. Back in September of 2010, James Lee, just some random guy, was concerned about overpopulation, and it almost cost him his life. It did cost him his life. Police snipers had to kill him. He had hostages, but he was demanding that the Discovery Channel air messages about curbing the planet's population growth, finding solutions for global warming, and dismantling the dangerous U.S. world economy. His manifesto spoke of parasitic human infants. He views humans as the most destructive, filthy, pollutive creatures around, and we are wrecking what is left of the planet with their false morals and breeding culture. He demanded that the Discovery Channel produce programs that mention the sciences about food production, Malthusian sciences about how food production leads to overpopulation of the human race. So I don't know what he was saying in his manifesto. He said, talk about evolution, talk about Darwin until it sinks into these stupid people's brains until they get it. Representative Alexander Cortez of New York suggested that it may not be ethical to have children, given the differences that climate change will likely cause in the years to come. In a live stream, she suggested that the answer was not clear. However, there's scientific consensus that lives of children are going to be very difficult, and it does lead young people to have a legitimate question, is it okay to still have children? So it's being promoted as an ethical issue. I was on vacation almost a year and a half ago now, and we were on this tour, and there was a young woman on the tour, and she was talking about what was going on climate change-wise in her location. And she's a delightful young lady, but she told the tour group, "I'm not going to have children because I don't want to contribute to the problem." And I just thought, how sad. The world sees overpopulation as morally wrong, and people need to be educated. Births need to be regulated. And while we in this country haven't seen any mandates like other countries have seen, China being one of them, births are being regulated in our country through legal dispensing of birth control to minors, even without their parents' consent. The elderly should be euthanized. That's an idea that's been wandering around under the name of mercy. It's the most humane and moral thing to do for those whose quality of life has diminished. Abortion needs to be legalized, which, by the way, is our topic for when we come back January 6th. So the world's view is overpopulation is of great concern. The world's response then is to curb it or else we're all going to die. Okay? Which brings us now to the biblical view. The biblical view is overpopulation is of little concern. And I say little concern rather than no concern because I think there can be local overpopulating, okay? There have been cities, states that have exceeded the water usage that they have access to. So overpopulation can be a concern on a local basis, but really on a worldwide scale, it is of no concern. And here are a few reasons why. Genesis chapter 1, we've looked at this passage through several of our topics already, and I know that there are other topics that we're going to hit in the future that we're going to turn back to these passages again. But Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, just throw it out there again. I know we've looked at this passage before, but what are some things that we learn here? Okay, God's not concerned about the numbers, right? Okay.
Man is over everything else.
Okay, he has dominion over the earth and all that is in it. Okay, that man's made in God's image. That's something we've looked at before. We've got qualities, God-given qualities that enable us to do what God's asking us to do. All right, stewardship qualities even. But God made us in His image. We have been given dominion over the earth and all that is in it. And we are told, Adam and Eve were told, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So the first reason overpopulation is of little concern is God commanded man to fill the earth. That's repeated. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, right after Noah's flood. Noah and his family and the animals that he had on the ark are all of the creeping life that there is. And in verses 15 through 17, it says, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. But if you go to chapter 9, verse 1, that command is not only for the animals filling the earth, but it says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So man has been commanded here to multiply and spread over all the earth. Now, Noah's time was a long time ago. So, is it full yet?
Apparently.
The earth is far from full. In fact, statistically, the entire world's population, every single person on the entire planet could fit in the state of Texas. They could fit in the state of Texas, and every single person would have their own 1,000 square feet of living space. So for a family of four, that's 4,000 square feet. That's more than we got now. All right? With that, it has also been estimated that the entire world's population could fit in the United States, and just in our nation alone, we would have more than enough resources for everyone to survive and even multiply. The world is a big place. It is a big place, and we are not remotely close to filling it, nor exhausting its resources. And God commanded man to fill it. God commanded man to have dominion over it. What does dominion mean? Okay, rule, authority, to have the power and actually the right to govern and control it all. It's really sovereign authority to control the earth. And I also believe that includes stewardship. We talked about that during climate change. I think there's definitely a balance. It's not about just greedily ravaging what God has created here, but using it and using the resources wisely. So stewardship, the proper controlling of resources, not controlling population, but resources. I'm in favor of alternative energy sources, okay? God commanded man to have dominion over all the earth, but some of the most important reasons overpopulation should be of little concern is God's the provider of everything, not us. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is is often a psalm that is read at funerals, but it's oh so much more than the one line that appears in it. Maybe I should just have Joan recite it. She's got it memorized. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, from this passage, let's just list a few of the things that God provides for us.
Rest.
Rest, okay?
Water.
Pastures. I think as far as a sheep is concerned, that would be for physical health, wouldn't it?
Comfort.
An eternal dwelling place. Okay, an eternal dwelling place, a relationship with God.
Courage.
Bounty.
Restoration.
Protection. Even from our enemies. So yeah, there's this whole psalm is about how good God provides for us. Barnabas and Paul, speaking of God, they say this in Acts 14, 16, and 17. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but it says, "Who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." That's the history of the world. God is not only a shepherd to and provider for his people, but he's provider for all people. All people. God is the provider of everything to everyone, and God is the sustainer of everything to everyone. Let's turn to another passage, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is actually speaking of Jesus here. It says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Every single system that there is, whether it be in the universe, among the galaxies, on our planet, the water system, the plant and animal system, the human metabolic system, they are all created by God and held together and function because God made them too. He is the sustainer of everything. And I got to tell you, God is not surprised by the world's population. He's not worried about it. Not at all. 7 billion people on earth didn't catch him by surprise. He's not worried about resources. because he's the creator of those resources. He's the sustainer. He's the provider. He actually prepared to provide for more people than there are today. We're going to talk about this a little bit January 6th, but what if, and it is easy to speculate about, but what if that person that was aborted at birth was the one that would find a cure for cancer? What if that person that was aborted at birth was the one that would discover the ultimate source of energy? There was a time when electricity had not been discovered, maybe better put, harnessed yet. But God used a few very specific people to do that. And we have that now, electricity being generated for us so that we can see each other right now, even though it's dark. But there are people that are being eliminated because of overpopulation or the theory of overpopulation right now. And maybe those people would have had, I know God's purposes don't hinge on one person, but possibly what if that person had a resource or could have been the one to discover a resource that we need? All that to say, God is not surprised by the world population. In fact, he had planned on it being larger than it is now. All right? And God proves he's in control. And I think there are a number of examples in creation that show us that human population should not be regulated by us, but rather regulated by God. Can you think of any populations of life that man has not attempted to regulate on a large scale, but they're not out of control and they are thriving today?
Ants.
Okay. Ants. Absolutely. Ants is one. Can you think of another one? What? Cockroaches, that's one, okay. You can't kill them, right?
Locusts or grasshoppers.
Locusts and grasshoppers. Mice, and I'll just stop you there because there are lots that we can name, but I'm going to give you the top ones right now, all right? Bacteria. Bacteria, and get this. It is estimated that there are 4 quadrillion bacteria on Earth. And I don't know who had the job to count them, but I don't think they counted them, obviously. But they've estimated their population by their presence in virtually everything. And as a result, they've estimated, if their numbers are remotely accurate, 4 quadrillion, they estimated their biological mass worldwide to be about 1 million tons. 1 million tons of bacteria, which also makes bacteria the largest consumer of resources in the world. Ants, number 2. It is estimated that there are 10 billion ants on Earth, weighing 3,000 million tons, making them the second largest consumer of resources on the earth. Marine fish are next. Cattle are next. Termites are next. And then humans. Where ants are virtually unregulated and make up 3,000 million tons of resource-consuming animal life, Humans make up only 350 million tons of resource-consuming life. That said, now I'm not in favor of this, but that said, if we just got rid of all of the ants, there would be additional resources for almost 50 billion more people. I'm not against getting rid of ants. I don't think God is either. And I know I'm probably oversimplifying things a bit here, but it does put a perspective, a different perspective on the idea of overpopulation. There are lots of populations that are completely unregulated by man, and they're doing just fine. They're doing just fine because God is the provider and the sustainer. So what about the problem in Revelation? If you want, you can go back there. I don't know that it's entirely necessary, but Revelation 6, 3 through 8. Do these problems that we're finding in these verses here, are they coming from overpopulation, and how do you know? All right, they're not, and how do you know? What's that? Okay, it doesn't say it's coming from overpopulation for one, all right? Overpopulation isn't mentioned at all. Is this a natural occurrence? What's going on here? No, it's a supernatural occurrence. What is the cause of the occurrence? Yeah, right back to where we were last week, right? Wickedness. Sin, that's why the problem, that's why what's going on in Revelation 6 is going on. Sin is the problem. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we're seeing that in our world today. There's a way that seems right to a man. And it's literally, it not only leads to wickedness and death, but it's causing death of human populations in the world. The biblical answer to overpopulation is not to demand fewer people, especially if that involves the culling of the current population. The biblical answer is to honor people enough to provide for their needs, to take the resources that God has given us. There may be a problem with how the population is distributed or how resources are managed, but the problem is not too many people on the earth. Sin is the problem, greed, a lust for power, a lack of love and charity perhaps, the foolish mishandling of resources. And millions of people do suffer as a result. The biblical response then is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's the biblical response. So according to what we've seen tonight, is overpopulation of the earth even possible? It really isn't. It really isn't. It's not because it's impossible for God to be out of control. And if God is not worried about it, it's a waste of time and life and resources for us to be worried about it. We've been called to obediently be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So, have more babies. Those of you that can. Now, while that command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth is given to man as a literal physical command, there is a spiritual way that we can apply that as well. What is it? How else might we apply being fruitful and multiplying? Okay, the Great Commission, sharing the gospel with them. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And if we do that, others won't be worried about overpopulation either, right? In fact, it's all about growing the kingdom of God, physically and spiritually. But that is where we're going to end tonight. But any thoughts or questions on overpopulation?
What about birth control?
What about birth control?
Is it moral? What's the Christian biblical response to that?
No, that's not another topic we're going to be looking at. And I'll be honest with you, that is a question that I have given a lot of thought to. And but that was back in my child making days. And I don't remember. I don't think that birth control is immoral, because it's not the taking of a life, but the stopping of one from happening. And I understand there are a lot of semantics that we could look at in that. And
I understand.
What's that?
That doesn't contradict the fruitful multiply.
Well, I think there's a difference between not having children when you're able and I had the thought right there. And the amount of children, if that makes sense. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. Anything else? All right, let's close in prayer tonight. Father, thank you for our time. We do thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you are not a God that is taken by surprise. You're not a God that worries. But, Lord, everything is going according to your purposes. And, Lord, all we want is to be in step with that. So we thank you for your guidance here tonight on this contemporary issue in our world of overpopulation, and showing us that, Lord, you've called us to be good stewards of what you've blessed us with, and that's what we need to do. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.